Okay, let's open our Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 10. That's where we're beginning from today. The book of Luke chapter 10. All right, let's start from verse 1. He said, "Now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come." Verse 2. "And he was saying to them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Those are the two verses that are important for what I want to say, explain today in line of with our teaching, which we have been going on for some time. That is the true service of God. And that's what I want to continue looking at today. And I want to bring out a particular interesting perspective today. Now look at that verse 2. He says that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. If you look at the previous verse, what he said is that, or was that, the Bible tells us that he appointed 70 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. Now, we have some historical facts stated here. That is, this was the way the Lord used to plan things. Unconsciously, many of us think that Jesus didn't have plans. He just woke up in the morning, the wind blew it where it listed, everywhere the listing goes, Jesus would just follow. It wasn't like that. Let me just take a minute and debunk some of those unconscious things that come into our minds or that are inside our hearts of the way Jesus used to operate. Many of us thought that he didn't need boats. He walked on water when he wanted to go to places. No, he hardly walked on water. The record of the scriptures shows that he did that only like 2 times. Okay? Every time he needed to travel, he got a boat. He needed a boat. That was just his life. Many people think that he just used to multiply food. That is not true. Go and read the book of Luke chapter 4. The book of John chapter 4. When he got to that well in Samaria, he sat down while the people went out to go and buy food. He didn't just say, "Bring something, let's multiply." You must understand that God's way is not just wake up every day, just be working miracles. He did those things when it was necessary. There was a day he needed money. He told Peter, "Because we need money now, go and fish. And in the mouth of the fish, you will get a coin. And that will be enough to solve our issues." Unconsciously, that provokes us to think that's how money used to come to him supernaturally. But it's not true. That was unusual. What used to happen was that they used to receive offerings from special people. He did not go to crusade grounds to collect offerings. He had partners in his ministry. And the Bible gave us a list of some of them. All right, Luke wrote the list of their names down. And they contributed, the Bible says, regularly to support the ministry that the Lord Jesus operated. Don't think that everything, he was just walking anyhow, all right? Now, he used to work miracles. Something that Jesus was very approachable. Anybody could approach him every time. It's not true. That's what, if he was like that, why would a man go and climb a tree? An important man. You get my point? It was so difficult for him to get to Jesus. It was so hard for a number of reasons. One, the crowd was plenty. Two, when the crowd is few, Peter won't let you pass. How do I know that? The Bible says at a point in time, he had to specifically instruct Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, and all of that, "Let the little ones come to me." There was a time, Zacchaeus wanted to come. Peter did not agree, and Jesus did not say anything. He wanted to come. John said, "Sorry, the master is sleeping." The man said, "What will I do? What will I do?" This is where they are passing. He ran ahead and climbed the tree. Then Jesus came to him. You know, sometimes preachers, they don't. I know one man of God, he said that, "Look, anybody can call him anytime." I said, "You're on your own. Nobody can call me anytime." Listen, you know, when you want to live long, there are things you don't do. That man said that anytime for anyone in the world, his phone number is on his website. I said, "Father in heaven." Jesus, don't worry, Jesus didn't do like that. To talk to Jesus, you talk to Peter. Not because of pride, it's just the fact that otherwise he wouldn't have lived long enough to go to the cross. But now you still be in your sins. Many of you be slaves in America. Are you getting my point? But he had to arrange things. What I'm going to say is that life has order. And Jesus used to follow order in the things that he did. That's just an aside. Let's get that clear. Now, what is our teaching for today? So, his ministry had plans. He would say that, okay, tomorrow, next week, I should be able to get to Oka to do a crusade there. That's what used to happen. And then he would take two people and say, two of you, go to Oka ahead and prepare the grounds. He knew he was coming to Oka. The Bible says that he appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. Pairs, 70. He had a lot of places to go. Minimum 35 places. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
and don't forget, it's not only 70. He said 70 others. There were some before the 70. 12. They were with him. Now, I'm trying to bring out an issue here. So the Lord had plans, and the way he used to do it was to send people ahead of him. If he wants to go to Makurdi to affect the place, he will pick some of his people and say, go there ahead of me, I am coming. If he wants to affect Otupo, he will say, go there ahead of me, I'm coming. If he wants to affect Abakiliki, he say, go there ahead of me, I'm coming. If he wants to, listen to this, he wants to affect the movie industry, he say, go there ahead of me, I'm coming. If he wants to affect the government, he says, go there ahead of me, I am coming. If he wants to affect, business, he say, go there ahead of him, me, I am coming. If he wants to restructure the custom services in Nigeria, he says to some people, go there ahead of me, I am coming. That's his structure. That is his order. So when you start praying, and notice something he said here, he said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into the harvest. He just sent people. So what's the Lord saying? Why can't I do the things I want to do? I don't have enough people to send ahead. Many of those who I sent ahead, they didn't like the place. Demas has departed from me, having fallen in love with this present world. So when I wanted to come to a particular village in Anambra State, so I told Demas and Tychicus to wait for me there. They stood there for about 6 months. Demas got tired of the fact that this place is not comfortable. They don't have constant power supply. So Demas left. Therefore, I told Tychicus, come back. I can't come to that place. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
Listen, this is the way God did this earth. The Bible says clearly, they tempted God in the wilderness and limited the Holy One of Israel. Many things he wants to do, he sends people ahead. But then they look at it, I don't like this, so they leave. So he strikes that place off the agenda until he gets another two to send. Why is there no revival on the earth? He said, listen, this is how it is. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send people into all the places that he wants to come. This is his structure. That is the way it is. Let me say something about God. I said this earlier. The Lord plans. What I just want to say is that he's a master planner. And this is the truth. He doesn't always let us know everything in details. Occasionally, he will call a few people and they will enter into a prophetic office and he will say to them, this is the general picture of what I want to do. Go and declare it to my people. Now, recently, Bishop was for, so there's this thing about Pi Elton. You know, the history of his coming to Nigeria. And I saw some of the history that he was forwarding, and I read a few, some of them. If I want, when the thing is complete, I want to read it together. This piecemeal thing is not working. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you the truth. I heard about the man long ago. Of course, you read the story. He was a British man who the Lord sent into Nigeria. And he lived and died in Nigeria. He first arrived and went to, is it Elisha? Or is it Oshubu? So, he was sent by God into Nigeria. Why? Because the Bible says that God reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. So he saw ahead. Recently I had an idea to write. I believe that the things he saw, they've been fulfilled, at least in much I know about them, to a very large extent. Most of it has been fulfilled. All right? But I think, which is often what happens, people often mismanage the thing that God is doing. I think right now, many of the things he said, I believe they have been fulfilled. And sometimes people mismanage what God is doing. Now, the influence that the church has in Nigeria today, he prophesied it long ago. I believe the church is very, very influential. You may not realize it, but the church is very, very influential. The way you just stand up and preach in most parts of Nigeria, the influence the church has in government, the way preachers will speak. I told you then, I've told the story here again and again. When Nigeria wanted to join OIC, God sent a prophet, all right? Our current head of state, Idiagbo Anko, then Buhari, then Babangida, and the man will address then it was called Supreme Military Council, and he will tell them the word of God. And I still remember listening to that man's testimony that lasted, the tape was 90 minutes, and the tape finished. They had to stop the interpreter because he was testifying at the Gospel Faith Mission Convention somewhere in Ibadan. Alright? So they were translating into Yoruba because of the environment. At the point in time, he told the interpreter he had to stop because he didn't have the time. Because the gist was so long. Okay? The gist was so long. So, at, you know, and he would give you step by step what God was doing. And he said he was giving that testimony then for Christians to understand that God is not sleeping and that what is going on in Nigeria, God is attending to it. And I remember then he talked about MK Abiola as one attending one of the meetings. That's how I told you, Christians did not forgive him for that thing that he did. And that's why he never made it to be president. Because the Christians said, no, you. Because it was so much, one of the things he said is that Nigeria, we have public holidays on Saturday and Sunday, weekly holidays. You understand? Our weekly holidays is Saturday and Sunday. And that the Muslims don't have that. So the Christians have always been having their way. So MK was so adamant that Nigeria had to join OIC. And that man looked at him. And I think he warned him. If I told him at the point in time he wanted to pray, he said, everybody rise to your feet. All the military generals, head of state, they stood up. He said, everybody remove your cap. I want to pray. He said, MKO refused to remove his cap. He said, I looked at the man. He said, no problem. He said, I raised my voice. The window opened. The breeze came in and removed the cap. Window opened. Breeze rushed in, took the cap off his head. Look, what I heard is this, I think around 1980s, mid-80s, when that OIC thing was hot. Now, to let you know that, listen, God is in Nigeria, amen? Now, I'm making a point here, all right? So, this man prophesied long ago, all right, by Elton. He said some of many of these things. Many of them we are experiencing today. The influence that the church has in Nigeria is very, very powerful. Currently, the best universities in Nigeria are being built by churches. And that's influence. But this man prophesied it long ago. By Elton. He said, my pastor then, when I was doing my house job, he gave us some of these stories. Now, that's prophecies that the man gave. I grew older now and realize that many of those things have come to pass. But this one I'm talking about, for God to do that, you know what he did? He sent the man. The man left his house, his comfort, all right, in England. And he came to Nigeria to settle down. And all these great men that have been in the forefront of the, especially Pentecostal movement in Nigeria, there's none of them that he did not touch. Is it E. Adeboye? Is it David Oyedepo? Is it W.F. Kumi? There was not one of them that he did not affect. And, you know, last year, I went to preach somewhere, that's in Kaduna, and I met, was it last year or the year before? All right? And one elderly man was there, went to visit him, the father of our host. So he was telling us stories and told us about, of course, Pa Elton, and statements he made about certain prominent Nigerian ministers. Don't follow human beings, follow God. There's a particular man he mentioned, a prominent man. He said, the day the man started that line of ministry, he said, the white man said, this man had just left the reason why God called him. Listen, we all have a duty. Let's understand something, that God knows what he's doing. He plans things, and he says, everybody, stay where I have kept you. If you leave where I keep you, I can't do what I want to do. For the move of God you saw in this country that we are still experiencing, listen, let's not take, there are a lot of bad things going on, but let me tell you the truth. Don't get so used to it, don't realize that God has done something great. When we wanted to start broadcasting Makurdi, when we went to the radio station, when they gave us the rate for 30 minutes, remember that day, you were there, Israel, okay, we were there that day. We couldn't price it. Normally they would say, okay, pay this amount. We say, okay, all right, that's too much. Now, in fact, Asinka, he does most of the bargaining with the radio stations. They will say, okay, pay this amount for every 10 minutes you're on radio. He will tell them, lie, I can't even tell pastor that. If you guys are not ready, I'm not calling you back. Now, harassment. He will now call me and say, oh, I see what they are saying. I think that they are smoking. Give them a list of what we are paying other people. Anyway, let's make a long story. By the time we are done, we are paying half of what they asked for. This one, we got there. When they told us this amount for 30 minutes, we looked at each other. We could not even have asked for that. That if they had said, okay, how much do you want to pay? We would have offered more. So, of course, naturally, the Bible says bad, bad, says the buyer. You will never agree that it's good. So, so, of course, I said, okay, well, that's good price. It's not so bad, but I'm sure you guys can do better. The man said, no, this price we know is very low. This is where I'm going. He said, let me tell you why. We asked for 10 minutes. We couldn't get a good price. But on that 30 minutes, he said the governor had instructed them to give a discount to churches that need 30 minutes on air. You see what I'm saying? So that's why he said that it can't go lower. And we all know it's low. Even me, I knew. Just like all this, if you tell a person, say, okay, buy this in 2 for 10 naira. So, you know, we'll agree 3 for 10. You know, that kind of thing. That's just how man beats price. That's the only reason why we spoke that day. He now said, this is a Christian state and the governor wants to keep it like that. So, he told us to bring the price down when pastors come. When we heard the price, I said, oh, there's revival in the land. Are you getting my point here? Now, these are things that those men prophesied. Now, if he didn't come and settle down, the Bible says that this is what God does. When he wants to go somewhere, he sends people ahead. I said something last time. No, we're talking about the true service of God. For us to understand. I said God is a master planner. I'm saying it now. But last time I explained the particular principle, okay? That in life, there are 3 sets of people that work for God. There are seed sowers. There are those who water. And there are those who harvest. That is how revival is. That is how the spread of the gospel is. There are 3 sets of people. There are those who sow the seed. There are those who water the seed. And there are those who harvest. Many of us only know about those who harvest. I said something last time. I didn't complete the gist. I explained that Yonggi Cho went to, is from South Korea. And he started the church. And at a point in time, they had 1 million members in the church. One single church assembly. And then many pastors go there and they go to go and learn the principles of church growth. In fact, he started an agency called Church Growth International. Everybody went there to go and learn. What is the principle? How do you do it? You start home cells. All kinds of methods. I read some of the methods in my mind. These methods are so ungodly that the way people interpret some of those things. This, what is all of this? He said, one woman wanted to leave the church. They gave her a record of how much money she had given over the last 15 years that she didn't remember. You want to leave your investment? I said, I've given you this amount of money. I'm not going again. She remained. I said, are you serious or you are kidding? But everybody kept trying to learn how he did it. How the man built a church to have one. I mean, he used to pray and believe God. Next year will be 100,000. After that will be 200,000. They prayed one day, started asking God for 1 million members. Are you getting my point? That is, the whole of Enugu is going to one church. Now, for you to know that the man didn't just know methods. We thought that this man. It was a normal thing in Korea. There were 100,000 member churches were plenty. But people don't know that. After examining everything, he would say, go and learn church growth. I said, forget it, I'm not following you. Number one, I'm not a pastor of a church trying to grow a church. Number two, I'm not even, I don't count numbers. I don't like it. That one, I believe in God for 100,000 members. I will never, there are things that won't come out from my mouth. I have my reasons, I'm not teaching on that now. But what I noticed is that the man was a harvester. He did not sow the seed, neither did he water it. There is a particular church you know very well called Assemblies of God. Forget equality in Nigeria. That church has been there for a long time. Yonggi Cho was a member of Assemblies of God. Yes. He left many years later, decades later, he joined them back. So Yodo Christian Center is an Assemblies of God church. Before he was born, that's where I'm going to. He said that church, Assemblies of God, they had watered the ground with their prayer. He was not yet born. They had preached the gospel. Who was Yonggi Cho? Jesus said, other men labored, but you have entered into their labor. You just came to harvest where other people planted. They will come and go and be learning principles of church growth. Those are principles of harvest. If you carry your principle of church growth to a place where nobody planted the kind of seed that those guys had planted, and they are not watered it like that, and they are not Koreans, you will not see the result. So what about Koreans? God has different plans for different races of people. People started home sale in Lagos. You know what it became? Armed robbery place. You will not, people will come to home sale. Let's praise the Lord. Puyaka! All of you bring out your money. After that, pastor will say, no, no more home sale. Yeah, boys are different too. Yeah. They tried to use those methods. It didn't work. You know why? Because it's not about method. You can't just go now and say, hey, last week I saw Okemute. Okemute don't hammer. Say, what did Okemute do? The guy harvested, you know, 2 silos of corn. Oh boy. Where did he hammer it? He said, yeah, there's this stretch of land between here and Abakiliki. He got a combined harvester. He said, where did he buy the harvester? He bought from John Holt. Let's go to John Holt. Say, please, you see that Okemute kind of harvester? Sell it to us. So what do you want to do? Yeah, we want to hammer. We are going to harvest 2 shiploads of corn. Then you sell your father's land, your grandfather's own, you borrow from the bank, pay for 2 massive combined harvesters. Then you drive down there. They say, okay, where's your land? They say, just enter the bush, begin harvest. That's what many of us do, what we call ministry. That's what we are doing. So if that man can get that result, I can get this result. You go and get his method, which is his own combined harvester. You don't have his field. Nobody planted corn for you. What you did not notice was that Okemute didn't just get a combined harvester and enter into the jungle. You can have the harvester and be harvesting sand if he didn't plant anything. What he didn't notice is that, first of all, he plowed the land long ago, harrowed the land, sprinkled corn on it, put pre-emergence herbicides. Are you getting my point? And did all of the tended the hectares and hectares of land until the crop began to permit. Then he put in the sickle because the harvest had come. People don't check whether harvest has come. They just buy sickle. Oh, but buy your own sickle because we are going to harvest. Yeah, that's the problem. And I say, okay, how many souls are you taking to heaven? God says, naked you came. Naked you are going back. Let me add my own. Alone you came. Alone you are going back. Why? Because you can't win any soul. I do the winning. Are you getting my point? Some will go out and go and sow. Some will go out and go and water. And some will come out to reap the harvest. When the harvest is ripe, haba, life is going to be hard. So what did God say? Each man, I plant them in the right, in their own places. And that's what I was saying last time. It's not just the preachers that are preaching. I said, okay, somebody go somewhere, turn the whole community to the Lord. And you say, wow, that man is a powerful evangelist. God said, I know. But for him to be able to turn that whole community, 70 years before, I sent a reverend father. He came from Mexico. He stayed in Nigeria saying mass, doing infant baptism. But God knows what he's doing. I'm not saying the man is right in everything. He makes everybody go for catechism. In the whole society, people are going for catechism. At the age of 3, you're already going for catechism. You start learning little things. I learned my catechism in Yoruba, so, and I know most of you learned in Igbo. Yeah, my own catechism was... So I can't tell you the English version. It will cause confusion. It was God that created us and placed us on this earth. We memorize that. Memorize who Jesus was, who his mother, the virgin birth, his death, resurrection, before you pass that class. The good word of that, many of us Pentecostals don't think much of it. Okay? But actually, that was where the foundation was laid. Are you getting my point? Yeah, that's where they taught you the rudiments of the doctrines of God. And God said, don't worry. Just leave it there. Reverend sisters harassed your life. You went to a Catholic secondary school. They taught you some things. And then one day you are going on the road. You now see one man say, Jesus has come to this town today. Anybody who comes here today, you are going to get healed. And then you say, is the man serious? This was something they did not tell you before. But you already knew the Jesus. You need the Holy Spirit. And you step forward. He touched you. You got healed. Many of us don't say, we don't realize it. We look and say, hey, those people didn't know. No. They did. They did their job. This man has now come as what? A harvester. So he now says, who wants to give his life to Christ? Something you have never done in your life. You've just been a religious person. Then you now go forward. You surrender your life to Christ. He said, do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You say yes. He puts a hand upon you. And Holy Spirit comes upon you. You fall on the floor. You get up. You are seeing visions and dreams. Did they see dreams in the afternoon? No. And you now think, oh, this man is... No, no, no. That was a harvester. Now, my emphasis is many of us... Remember what Jesus said? Pray the Lord of the harvest. To do what? Send laborers. He's sending us to places. And he says in your office, just lay certain foundations. Do your work properly. I'll talk about that now. All right? In your office, do things in a particular way. Now, listen to this. Don't worry about what I am doing. I can't explain all my plans. You don't have the capacity to understand it. Just be faithful until I come back. I hope you're getting my point. I said something last time. Daniel was not considered a prophet by the Jews. What was Daniel? Daniel was of royalty. Daniel was an intelligent young man. Daniel and his friends or brothers, they were people that loved the Lord. But their job in Babylon was to be civil servants. They lived a life of holiness. We know that because you see the kind of vows they made as young people. They stepped into Babylon and said, we will not defile ourselves by the things that are going on inside here. We know the kind of life they lived. But they served the king. That was where God planted them. Nebuchadnezzar ended his life as a strong believer. It was his son that smoked something. Nebuchadnezzar feared the God of Daniel. Why? Because God set Daniel in his court. It was after he died that God took the kingdom away from Babylon. I don't have time to look at them to talk about the story of Daniel. You see, the things that were given to Daniel, the man was just faithful. He had a heart for the land of Israel, for the temple of God. He loved the Lord, and God decided to give him consolation because he was not going to go back to Jerusalem. I see his heart. He was bothered about the things that happened to his people. So the Bible says that he was a man of high esteem. So God sent an angel and said, go and show Daniel the things that will happen after. Daniel saw visions as far as the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And he wrote them down. Listen to this. They were issues of personal edification. It was, don't worry. Things are working. Because these people, maybe we don't understand the mentality of a Jew. They were special people. And they felt very special. So when people like Daniel would see what's going on with them, he couldn't get it. Why are things like this with the people of God? Even if they sinned. God, why won't you have mercy? So God looked and said, oh, this is my guy. So he now went and showed it to him that don't worry. Times and epochs have been determined. The final kingdom, forget all these kingdoms, they will all pass away. Then there's a kingdom that will come that will fill the whole earth, which is the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, now we know. And Daniel wrote all of these things down, listen to this, as a civil servant. From where he was working there, all right, the man laid the necessary foundations for many of the things that we are doing today. That's the point I'm trying to make. Yet, he was not an evangelist. Now, let me use the Jewish mindset. He was not a prophet. He was not an apostle. He was not a pastor or teacher. He was just a regular civil servant who loved the Lord and who God gave scrolls to read as encouragement for his soul. He wrote those things down. You and I now see them. They were actually the prophecies of God. The other day I went to preach in Benin. Christian lawyers organized their conference and said the preaching doctor should come and be the one to speak. I found it very funny, but they invited me, so I went. I went to preach to Christian lawyers. And one man said something there. There were two policemen that came. One, a police chaplain, and the other one, a normal police officer who has been in the force longer than the police chaplain. And he said something. Now, I have a colleague. He's a commissioner now. So, one of those days we're speaking, and he will tell you about the rot in the police. Then I talked to another man of God in town here who has done some work with the police. He said, do you know that police didn't have a chaplain? You go to the army, they have chaplain. How come Nigeria police didn't have? Now, when I went for that conference in Benin, the man sitting beside me was the police chaplain. The other man, the older one in the force, when he got up to speak, he now gave testimony about his life. He was a bodyguard to Archbishop Benson Idahosa. All right? And he talked about how Idahosa affected his life and all of that, how that has affected him till today, everything about him. And that how, now where I'm going is that how God used people like him to open the door for the police to have a chaplain. Or to begin to appoint chaplains. I won't bore you with the details. But it was prayer they were praying. So one day along the line, Daddy, he and I were speaking. He now said that people like this, he pointed to the other man, that they came because people like us prayed long ago. Are you getting my point here? He said, after he gave his life to Christ, he began to learn the word of God, following Archbishop Idahosa around. People asked, of course, there were options, like he should leave the police and all that. He said he didn't feel led by God to leave. He felt that this is where he should stay. And by remaining there, people like him could pray until other men like that came in. And the man of God I was talking to some time ago said that, listen, except that you cannot redeem a place like that unless they had chaplains in the place. But the structure did not allow for one. There had been Christians, IGs, they didn't do anything. Don't be angry with them. Seed had not been sown. Proper prayers had not been offered. We began this by reading that Luke chapter 10. He said he sent them 2 by 2 in pairs to the places where he himself was going to come. He now said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are what? Few. That is, because I have only 70, it will limit what I'm about to do. I wish I had 700. Are you getting my point here? And what am I trying to say? He said, each Christian has been sent into the place that the Lord wants to come into. That's what we must understand. Each person has been sent into a place, and he says, now this is the next scripture. Occupy. Finish it for me. Are you seeing the way it's tying? We've all been sent. He now said, occupy till I come. Let me tell you the truth. I will say this, many people who don't understand it will disagree. God does not want Christians to have ambition. He does not believe in them having long-term plans. I've had a lot of arguments about this. The more I thought about it, the more I realized I'm correct. And like Andrew Mark would say, you have entitled to your opinion, I'm entitled to my opinion. I will not agree with you, otherwise we will both be wrong. No. You see, listen, life is divided into days. God said, each person, identify your day. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What is my assignment for today? We behave as if God doesn't have plans for our lives. He plans. And when he comes, he will show you what he wants. People say that, you know, you plan, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you long-term plans. Who said so? When the Holy Spirit reveals long-term things, they're usually very nebulous. Most people, they misunderstand even the revelation. With everything the prophets had revealed, Peter, James, and John were saying, will you at this time restore the kingdom back to Israel? Lack of understanding. So, you see, sometimes when you find prophets speak, it is very easy to misunderstand. When God even gives visions and all of that, it's so hard. In fact, most visions of God, they just give you guidance, help you make up your mind at certain times. It's only when they are fulfilled, you fully understand. My experience is, the visions of God are extremely hard to understand until they are fulfilled. You look at the life of the Lord Jesus. What the people used to say is that it might be fulfilled that which was written, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken. Before that thing happened, they didn't know what it meant. Joseph had revelation. What's the revelation? A star or 10 stars? How many stars were there? 12 stars. 11 stars, sun, moon, all of them bowing down to him. His brothers looked and said, "Did you smoke something?" We all went to the field, we gathered sheaves, and they all your own bowed down to my own. They interpreted it for him. Are you going to rule over us? So God gave him a revelation that he's going to rule, right? Where? Where now? You are smiling. He did not know. I doubt whether he knew the road to Egypt. That young man could not have joined PDP to rule Egypt. Let me pray a prayer for you again. May your plans fail. Amen. See that money you have stacked up and invested for retirement. I'll pray a prayer for you. I will pray it. You can choose to not say amen. May the money disappear on time. Because if it disappears late, Omo, wahala day, there will be trouble. But if it disappears on time, you will quickly learn. I heard the story of a young man. Oh, there's another way it can disappear. You can just do what Jesus said. Liquidate the plan. And, you know, scatter it, solve today's problem. Trust God. Oh, God. Listen, this thing must be taken as a whole. It's very radical. Listen, I told you, faith. Go and listen to our series on faith. If your faith has not been confused with madness, you never start. And I'm not talking about let me go and be mad. No. It's more of just walking by the faith you understand. People start wondering whether your head is correct. Then you know you have made it. Why did I pray that prayer? I prayed that may it disappear early, not late. One day, one old man, I heard the story. He was taking the stroll at night, and he saw one young man on a bridge about to jump into the river. He wanted to kill himself. So he said, what are you doing? The boy said, my life is over. And the guy was about 30. No, less than 40 anyway. He said, my life is over. He said, what do you mean? He said, I made $1 million. I was a multimillionaire. He said, by this time, he said, right now, all my money is gone. So I want to commit suicide. He said, the old man looked at him and said, this life is not fair. It's not fair. That you mean you learned this precious lesson of life this early? I learned it as an old man. You've already learned it. Just jump into the water because this that this life is not fair. That this is a lesson that's precious. That men take time to learn. At the age of 30, you've learned it. That means you are going to succeed in life. Now you understand that money goes away. It's in the Bible like that. He said, now you understand. Oh God, the man said this life is not fair. You know, this man that turned out to be the richest man in the world at the time, Paul Getty, all right, has his own madness. But yeah, no, he was a certified lunatic before he died. No, I'm not joking about that. Yeah. He had a serious mental problem before he died. Now, he was the world's richest man at that time. In his 20s, he told his father that he had, now you must understand, he was the richest man in the world, I think, in the 70s. And as a middle-aged man, maybe in his 50s that time. In his 20s, he had made $1 million. So imagine what $1 million was, you know, 1940-something, 1930-something, thereabout. Yes, 1920-something, 1930-something. That's when he made $1 million. So he went to his father and said, I've made my money, I don't need to work again. His father tried to convince him that that's not how life is. But you know how God convinced him? I don't know what happened. The money finished faster than he realized it. He was broke. So because he was broke, he went back to work. And because he went back to work, he said one day he was going on the road, he bought a magazine and saw that they listed him as the richest man in the world. It was a surprise to him. He said, people say that, they think I'm just being, you know, just being smart when I say I don't know how much money I have. He said, the truth is that I just work for the fun of it. And did his business until he became the richest man in the world. That's why I prayed that prayer. Better say the amen properly. Now, I'm saying something here. So, listen to me. You cannot plan long-term for God. You can't. You know what he said? Occupy till I'm going to come. Be busy till I get there. And I like my version of the Bible. He said, occupy with this. That is, do business with this. And that's one of the things I'm talking about. He said, do business with this until I come. I want to make, let me just summarize the points I'm making so far so that you know my train of thought. One, God wants to come to places. Before he comes, he sends people ahead. If the people are not there, he can't come there. Please, we must rearrange our mentality to understand that our lives, we're on mission. Are you getting my point? We're on assignment. It's not just, is this comfortable? No. It's that if I'm planted here, it means the Lord wants to come. That everything we complain about, the Lord needs to come there. And the Lord said, before I can come, somebody must go there. That is the first thing. We've established that. So if God takes you and says, you, go to 9th mile as an example. There's a simple reason. He wants to do what? Come. And when he gets there, he said, what do you do? He said, good, I will give you something. Occupy with this until I... Let's just read that scripture, Luke chapter 19. It's very important because we just need to just get this train of thought correctly. Verse 12. The Bible said, he was telling them a parable, all right? He said, so he said, a nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return, and he called 10 of his slaves, verse 13, and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this until I come back. Or in fact, the literal Greek is, do business until I come. He said, then you know the rest of the story. Let's not read everything. Now, just jump down, just to remind ourselves. When he returned, verse 16. Okay, let me just go back up to verse 15. When he returned, after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves, to whom he had given the money, be called to him so that he might know what business they had done. The first appeared, saying, Master, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good slave. Now, look at the next line. Because you have been faithful in a very little thing, you are to be in authority over 10 cities. Let's stop reading here. We know the rest of the story. Because you have been faithful in a very little thing, you are to be in authority over 10 cities. I say this all the time. Was it possible for them to plan to rule 10 cities? They were slaves. We're not slaves the way we know slaves, but I mean, they were bond servants of this master. Could they have plotted to rule over 10 cities? The answer was no. One, they were not there when kingdoms were being taken. They were not there. They were back at home. The master had his plan. He did not tell any one of them what his plan was. Whatever it is he gave to them was supposed to be a test of their ability to rule cities. But they did not know cities were in question. Listen to me. The best performing, the best planning slave there will probably have planned for the day his 1 mina will become 200 minas. That is the best plan he could have had. He fulfilled the first installment and said, all right, I've turned 1 mina into 10. Then the master came back. If the master didn't come that day, if the master delayed some more, the 10 may have become 100. If the master delayed longer, the 100 may become 1,000. But that man was going to be a mina man all his life, multiplying mina. I hope you are getting my point. Almost all the plans you have, maybe it's on what you are doing currently. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Do you know where he's taking you to? All people argue with me about long-term plans. I'm sorry, I think you are ignorant. You're ignorant. Some of the businesses you are planning on right now, they will be... Listen, who would have thought one 30-year-old man will be the 5th richest man in the world because he wrote a simple program? In case you do not know, Mark Zuckerberg, I've analyzed it here several times before. The only reason why he became that rich was because the Chinese made smartphones cheap. If smartphones remained with Apple alone, if Android didn't come out and Google didn't do what they did with Android to throw it out free, Facebook usage could not have been up to 10% of what it is today. When Facebook, I read all these things. A few years ago, the analysis was still on how he can customize Facebook for mobile devices. He does not research into hardware. That's not his business. Listen, they've offered to buy Facebook from him, I don't need to tell you, many times in the past. The only reason why he did not sell, it was going to be hundreds of millions of dollars that time, was he said, what else will I be doing? What turned him around, I'll tell you. Suddenly, Chinese people, of Koreans and Chinese, they started making smartphones very cheap. Now, before, Facebook was only on the computer. When Facebook began, it was computer. If he remains on computers, he cannot get 200 million users a month. Why you brag on 1 billion users a month is because almost all of you here that do Facebook, you do it on what? Your mobile device. It was not his idea. Men don't plan things that are not within their control. I still remember when Bill Gates' net worth hit, I've forgotten how many billion dollars. Time magazine projected when the man will hit $1 trillion in worth. Do I need to tell you? It's never going to happen. I don't need to tell you anymore. But you know it's never going to happen. Why? Because the days of Microsoft being the king of the whole earth, computerized earth, has passed. Microsoft lost out almost entirely on mobile devices. They came in late into the mobile technology. They tried to do catch up, produce Microsoft Surface. It did not sell. But Nokia killed it in the process. They tried, but you see, the kingdom belongs to God, not to any man. And God took Google and Facebook and gave them that kingdom. That's it. It's pure catch-up. Listen. May Google not turn their back again. Those guys, do you know how many companies they've closed up? Nobody makes maps anymore because nobody buys. All your maps are in your tab, on your phone. Those companies that are making maps, that people were making long-term projections for map manufacturing, where are they? They are gone. Totally gone. Listen, you can't plan long-term. You can't. All that one, they were saying, when Bill Gates become this rich, it's not never going to happen. Why? Because the kingdom shifted from computers sitting on your table to devices in your hands. What they call Microsoft has a minimal share in that area. That's it. What am I going to say? I'm just using that one to explain a principle here. You see, this life is so complicated. Were you the one telling me, Yinka, the other day, of when, who was I talking with? Dangote offered Dangote cement to Lafarge. And Lafarge was making noise. He offered them how many percent? Yes, they wanted to control. The man said no. Thank God he said no. Let's not be doing business analysis. I will have told you many stories here. All these men are making Dangote. You know what made Dangote this rich? The stock market boom of a few years ago. It was not within his powers. It happened, and he happened to be prepared. That's why I am explaining. Listen, when you want to make plans, I'm not saying you don't make plans, because I said be occupied till I come. I told you the man that made 10 minutes, if the Lord didn't come back, he would have made 100. If he did not come back, he would have made 1,000. But we Christians know that he's going to come back. So we keep busy knowing that one day he's going to come back. As long as he's not back, we'll be multiplying the minutes. But we know he's going to return. That's what I'm trying to explain. So he said, okay, wherever I put you, I give you something. Be occupied. I am going to come there. Be occupied there till I come. Do you know the reason why Nigeria is, listen, you go to the United States of America, all right? Nigerians are the most educated human beings in America. They are more educated than the whites as a group. In Africa, they are known. When they say Nigeria is the giant of Africa, forget oil money, forget land mass. The behavior of the human beings is the issue. You don't know Nigerians. They are known everywhere. Even when they want to commit crime. Let me tell you the truth. South Africa said apartheid, apartheid. So nobody was going there. Then they opened the door. And Nigerians moved in there. I know the truth about Nigerians. They don't have inferiority mentality. They look at a white man in the face. They don't know that he's white. He's the one that's deficient in black. That's the Nigerian's mentality. You are white, is your problem. Is he putting food on my table? They said there are restaurants in South Africa. Eh? Because the South African man grew up under. Said there are restaurants in South Africa. If you see a black man, then you don't need to check. He's Nigerian. They know. He's the one, the white man has called me, tell the man, shift, I got here first. And he's not thinking anything about it. He's not, there's nothing, what is it? It's just normal life. One of my friends wanted to, those were Nigerians used to want to run everywhere. He went to one of these countries that bordered Nigeria in the north. So he went to a European or American embassy. I think a European country's embassy. He wanted to get his visa from there. So he got there. He saw one long queue. And there were black people on that queue. He saw another queue. That queue was short. And it was at the back of that long queue. So he asked the people that, please, why is that queue short? Why is this one long? And they told him simply that this queue is for the Africans and the locals, and now that queue is for the maybe Europeans and all of that. He left that queue. And he went and joined the other one. And he just stood there. Short queue. The other one was long. So after some time, somebody called his attention that he's not supposed to be in that queue. He's supposed to be in that queue, the longer one. So he asked the person why. Yeah, just tell me why. So there was a bit of like, what do you mean I tell you why? He said, if we're here for the same thing, I need an explanation why I should be on that queue that is long and this one is short. He said, or you want me to write a report to United Nations that you are discriminating against black people in their own country? The other guys looked and just concluded he's a Nigerian. That they didn't need any other thing. He said, they just looked at him and all of them just whispered, that guy's a Nigerian. That they know them. You see where I'm going in a moment. Do you know why they are like that? I'll tell you. It will surprise you. It's simply because missionaries came and planted schools everywhere. You don't think much of the missionary teacher, but he's the reason why your friends are that bold. That's the point I'm making. It's because they came planted schools everywhere. So you are used to speaking English. English comes to you naturally. Many of you here, the only language you speak is English. My children only speak English. I've tried to make sure them speak something else. It's hard. Because me and my wife don't understand any other thing apart from English talking to each other. No, really. So, there's no way they get to tomorrow. They open their mouth, their English should be clean, flawless. In fact, one day, I was filling a form. I think this was long ago. It was a program somewhere in Liverpool. That was when I was a resident doctor. They said you should feel your first language. I think I wrote English there. Now, what do you mean? I'm not joking about it. I converse better in English than I do in my native tongue. I can't pray. That's how you know. I can't pray in Yoruba language. I can't. I can't talk to the Lord. I can't express myself to him in anything but English. So when he said I should fill the form, I said no. That's my first language. I'm explaining something here. Why is it like that? It's simple. Missionaries came. They came from everywhere and they started dropping schools. Dropping schools. You didn't realize it, but they were building self-esteem in people. That is why today, Nigeria has become the number, I don't know whether it was number one or number two, but we are among the top two gospel exporting countries in the world. For a long time, it was United States. But I won't be surprised if we are overtaking them by now. That's the reason. I'm trying to explain something here. Jesus said, be occupied until I come. I'm coming. And he said, okay, what do I do? He said, I will give you a gift. I will give you a talent, like we say. I will give you a mina. Take it. I will put you somewhere. There, sit down until I come. Remember, we're talking about the true service of God. Remember, that's what it's all about. We are working with God, not when we come to church alone. No, 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 no. Wherever you find every child of God, any child of God, he's not there by accident. He's supposed to be there. She's supposed to be there until he comes. So what do I do? Be occupied. What is, with what? This. You're getting my point here? Be occupied with what? This. And that this is what we call gifts. That is the this in it. Be occupied with this. He gave each person a gift. And he will arrange this person to find himself or herself somewhere. And he says, stay there until I come. Please, I hope you are following my point here. And I've explained this. Listen, he's the one that knows what he's doing. He's the one that knows what he's doing. He doesn't give us details. I told the story of Pa Elton. The man came to Nigeria and was occupied with preaching. The story we're reading, you know, ministered to people like Babalola and co. You understand? Taught them certain things concerning the Holy Spirit. And he was occupied. Affecting the lives of multitudes. As of today, the top ministers that you know in this country, he touched all of them. Was he rich? Let me just say something. It's not even a question to ask. It's irrelevant. What do you call riches? We read the book of Revelations. A church, outwardly, they were poor. Jesus said, but you are rich. Another church, they were very rich. Jesus said, you are wretched and poor and blind and naked. But that man we are talking about, we are all feeling his effect till today. Listen to me. He's a preacher. I appreciate that. But it's not only for preachers. That's why I told the story of missionaries who came and taught school. They're just school teachers. They are there. They're impacting people. Impacting people. Impacting people. Getting ready for when the Lord will come for them. Getting ready for when the Lord will come and harvest them. Planting the doctrines of God in the hearts of young people. We don't know how God is doing his thing. He tells somebody, you, be a civil servant, go and work in federal civil service. Your name is Daniel. Stay there. Don't leave there. You're not going back. You're not going back to Jerusalem. You will not see the temple again. But 4,000 years later, men will be reading what you wrote. Are you getting my point? And they will be getting direction. Churches will gather. Thousands will gather and study your words. So that they will have direction for their life. You would not have been able to do that, Daniel, if you were a prophet to Israel. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You would not have been able to do that if you were a priest. You would not have been able to do that if you were a soldier. You wouldn't have been able to do that if you were a businessman. So I put you in a place where everybody takes care of every other thing. You just serve the king. And this man served the king. He died as an old man. He was in Babylon for, definitely we are sure of, more than 70 years. A man who came in as a teenager, assuming he was 15, 70 years, at 85 was when he was praying that Israel will go back. I hope you are getting my point here. When we are talking about serving God, that's what we are talking about. Serving God is not having, let me just say this again. You can have all your plans, but just know they will fail. Your plans are there to keep you busy. Do you understand my point? Yeah, to keep you busy. That your mina strategize for making 1,000. But now I have told you, one day you will have made only 10 when he will come. He now remove you from being a mina multiplier to being a ruler of 10 cities. Then now you are not doing any business anymore, trying to multiply minas. You are trying to keep order in 10 cities. Now you have police under your control. You have fire service under your control. You have sanitation people under your control. Are you getting my point? You are not the one in charge of counselors. Do you get my 10 cities? 10. Please, let's not forget that. What I'm emphasizing that how do we occupy? What are we to be occupied with? Each person has what? A gift. And the use of that gift in the place where he has kept you is what is called the service of God. Why do you come to church? It is so that you can be encouraged to walk properly. It's so that you can learn how to use the grace of God that is upon your life. It's not the attendance in church that is the service of God. Believe me, no matter what it looks like, that's why I told all the stories I told. If it looks mundane, just make sure you are doing it faithfully, diligently, knowing that. And somebody said, what's your long-term plan? He said, well, we'll do this until he comes. When he comes, well, I don't know the plan. He's out there doing some things. Maybe he's taking over cities. I may have to rule one of them. I don't know. But when he comes, he judges me on how faithful I have been with what he gave me. Not how faithful I have been in pursuing the agenda of other people. I think people can argue it, but currently the most powerful politician in Nigeria after the president is the vice president. This is what he has said. A man who didn't spend a dime campaigning. A man who did not spend, that is, lobbying, so okay, let's bring money to campaign. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. What, forget the details about his life, what just happened was that after men have fought, spent money, did everything, at the end of the day, the current order says, Jagaban, you try. To make me head president, you try. I will therefore give you the honor of appointing. It was in the papers. It was not hidden. You appoint who the vice president will be. He just said, he gave a few conditions. Of course, we all know the VP had to be a Christian. We know that because of the political balance in Nigeria. But he also gave some other conditions. One, the fellow must be young. And he said, it must be somebody, if anything happens to me, who will not start stealing. He said that, it's not new. Look, he's been saying that for a long time. So they sat down and Jagaban looked and said, what are these thieves? I'm not kidding. The man looked around and said, who's the only person that I trust and this man will accept? And he said, you come. Be the vice president. I hope you're getting my point. Be occupied until I come. That's the way it works. Look, even let's just talk more politics. Listen, if you think men become things because they schemed, some of the hardest schemers in Nigeria, God puts a stumbling block before them and says, you will never get anywhere. Pastors were printing flyers to support politicians in this city. And God was laughing, said, this is what they won't go for. Men of God, they were prophesying. It shall be well with you. The Lord has appointed it for such a time as this. It's a lie. When you give prophets money, it's a terrible thing. They can't see clearly again. Many of us in this time, who would have thought that the person that our beloved governor will point to will not get something? When I heard political machinations in Abuja, I felt sorry even for the governor himself. You see, may God not stand against you. May he be on your side.
Amen.
By you being on his side, though.
Amen.
God doesn't adjust his will to suit you. You adjust your own to flow with him.
Yes,
if he's on your side, believe me, you will see wonders. When he's against you, just, you know, that's why he loved David. Once you just suspect the Lord is against you, you know what you do? You just go and say, Lord, that place I was planning to go before, I'm not going again. Just lie down there. Wherever you want me to go, just let me know. I've abandoned the idea I don't want again. You should be there. You should have been there when MK Abiola won the election in 1993, right? June 12th. He defeated Tofa in his own local government. But Tunde Bakare has said, you will never be president. The Christians had prayed that for your sins in the days of OIC, you will never rule. He won the election complete. complete. He won it well. Bashir Tofa congratulated him. Considered defeat that, yes, Oga, you did. You won. But the God who reigns in heaven, who rules over the affairs of mankind, said, this guy, forget it. And you know why he died? It's a spiritual reason. Because he wouldn't accept. If he had said to the Lord, all right, your will be done, he would have left his imprisonment, gone back to business, you know, be advising men like Dangote today. But then, no, that was his end. You don't disagree with God. If you disagree with him, you will end like that. That's the way life is. What am I saying? Listen, God is in control. Listen, what he has prepared for you to take over, you don't know. And you can't guess. It has nothing to do with what you want. I always like to give myself as an example. By the time I came to Enugu to come and pick up my appointment letter to start teaching University of Nigeria Enugu campus, it was my second visit in my life to this city. The second. The idea. By the time I was leaving university, it didn't cross my mind I would live in Eastern Nigeria. Are you getting my point? It's not do you like it or you don't like it. It didn't cross my mind. I went to serve in the north. After that, I went to Lagos. I did my residency training. I had finished residency training. I had gotten married. The idea of coming to Enugu has still not crossed my mind. Until one day. Of course, my training was over. Where am I going next? I got a job. I had an offer. The head of the department and professor in Ife called me, said, look, your office is waiting. Here and there, we're thinking. One day I went to Ife, I think, go and see him or somebody. And I realized that, no, my wife wouldn't like this place. There's something about it. The offer had something inside it, which I felt would not be good for my ministry. You understand? There's something about it, all right? My friend that just said that, why didn't you come to Enugu? I said, Enugu. Then the chaplain of the chapel in Parkland, he came to Lagos that time, you know, just to greet me, congratulate me. Yeah, you know, I just got married, just finished my training. Just said, by the way, I think you should think about coming to Enugu. To be a nice place. You will like it. And they need a pathologist. Those are the two people that started the idea in my mind. The idea sat there. For the first time in my life. Let me make a long story short. I sent my CV through people who came for either exam or training in Ibadan. Then one day they said, please come. Your appointment letter is waiting. To come and pick the letter was my second visit in my life to this city. The first one being when we came up for a Christian medical conference in UNEC around 1988-89. Not very sure which of the years now. 88-89. That was the first. We just stayed for about two, you know the way it is, Christian conference, 2-3 days. We're back. By the time I arrived in Enugu, it was obvious I didn't plan to come here. I was sent here and they said, occupy, be busy until I come. Enugu was not this fine that time. My friend came the other day, he said, Banky, that was about 3 days ago. He said, man, you guys have been blessed with good governance in this city. You have been blessed. I said, yes, we have been preaching the word in this city. Yes, it doesn't just happen anyhow. Those who were here that time, if you remember, we used to prophesy it. How many banks were in town? We said, don't worry, the many will open because we need a lot of resources to do what we need to do. Then Charles Rudo came and said, all banks open. I said, you see, I told you, banks are going to open. It didn't even cross our minds that they will have an international airport. But we have been calling them to come. Listen, there has to be an international airport near my house. There has to be. There has to be. He said, occupy until I come. Watch it, though. This one, you see me here every Saturday. It is timed. A day will come. They say, is pastor coming this weekend? I say, we don't know. Yes, it's going to happen. No, that one. I am 100. Okay. Let me not say 100. That's not good. 99.2% certain. Because anytime he comes back, you are never where you used to be. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
When he will come, you don't know. He said, just be occupied. Let me end my message here. This is the point I'm making. Listen, wherever you are today, he knows you are there. He actually posted you there. And he gave you a gift. He gave you a talent. He gave you a meaning. I said, look, be using that thing until I come back. He didn't say, be a preacher till I come. That's what I'm talking about. He said, there are a few things I want you to do. One, walk in righteousness and holiness. Maintain a testimony. Do you understand? Let your life be like that of Daniel. That's what I'm asking for. Always give me the glory for whatever happens in your life. There are not too many burdens. You go and read that book of Revelation. He said, look, to this church, I'm not placing on you any other burden more than the things that you have been doing already. They're not difficult things. All this one of do something that will pain you for God is not the gospel of God. So if your offering is not paining you, it's not an offering. Listen, it's a lie. Whether it pains you or doesn't pain you, once it's your money, it's an offering. God is not, look, he said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Somebody should tell you that if the burden is not heavy, it's not from God. What kind of joke is that? Have you heard it before? Until that offering pains you, it can't draw something from God. Let me not comment further on it. It's just not true. No, listen. All I'm going to say is his commandments are not hard. He says, okay, that place I've placed you, be faithful. Be diligent, walk in righteousness. When they are stealing, don't join them. If you go to church, you don't have money for offering. Call, hey, explain to the pastor, I don't have money for offering. Are you getting my point? Look, there's no burden. He said, just do that. Then make sure, another thing, you will discover the gift that I gave to you. Please use it, whether it's making money or it's not making money. Do all of these things and then be patient. I will come. So, I gave the testimony of one of our brothers. He said, his skill, the one God gave him, is with children. One tall, lanky guy like this. He said, when children see me, they are excited. He graduated from University of Benin. Where do you work? He said, I work in a primary school. You like the job? Yes. He said, I'm specially gifted with these children. God said, listen, no, I don't want to hear. You went to do a master so you can get a job in university. Don't teach adults. It's simple. Are you getting my point? You know, this life, Christians have plot a career plan. I say, okay, this man is more important because he has a PhD and he's teaching adults. Adults are very difficult to teach. Stubborn people. I don't know why they want to teach adults anyway. And they think, jokes, this is not true. Adults. So the Lord says to that young man, listen, I've given you this gift. Stay there. They don't pay so well in nursery school. He said, I didn't say die there. I said, wait there until I come. So why is this whining? I don't know whether I get my point. I said, just stay there until I come. What is your problem? The little money they are paying, learn how to manage it. I will be back. You know, Christianity is not a joke. One of my friends was in town the other day. He said, in this life, you have to sign a non-compete clause with yourself. You non-compete. Because God said this, I gave you, this young man, a gift. Stay there till I come. When I come back, you don't know what I'm coming with. If you leave that place, your name is Demas. Demas left because he wanted a better job. Go and read it. Yes, read my book. Don't quit the army. That's what I explained inside there. So the Lord said, listen, if I give you a gift, no matter what you do in life, make sure you are in a place where you can what? Exercise it. Don't take a job that does not allow you that exercise. Your presence in a place, listen, it is not about your comfort. It's that is the place I want to come to. Once you leave, what you are saying to me is, don't come here. I don't know whether you are following my point. God said, if you leave, what you are saying to me is, sir, don't come here. Say, Lord, this place is dangerous. Don't come. Say, why shouldn't I come? Say, the offering is not good. Man of God. Pastors are very funny people. They leave a place because they say the offering here is not good. And what do they call not good? Thanksgiving, if you're a pastor in the village, your Thanksgiving is what?
Yam.
Chicken. Plantain. Oh, God. More. Coconut. And do you know these are things that God brings to people, but they say it's not good. Why? Because their friend in Lagos, on his birthday, Pastor, you've been a blessing. Hallelujah. They remove the wrap. Hey, Land Cruiser. Hey. And now when I start speaking English, praise the Lord. I'm so impressed by this church. You've been a tremendous blessing to me. Hallelujah. I wish God will give all of us the eyes of angels. You see the foolishness. Some of those cars, and the angels are looking at them and they look like keke. You're impressed in it. God says, see, that car they've given him. Say, now he can't sleep again. This is a man who, when he goes to bed before 10 o'clock, I need the Holy Spirit to wake him up to pray. But now, hallelujah, he's plotting because of motor car. Revelation has reduced in intensity. And he thinks he's rich. And he's now confusing his friend in the village. Listen, if you're a pastor in the village and they bring you coconut, crack it, eat it as unto the Lord. Call people and say, in the night he was betrayed, he took coconut. Break it, share. Rejoice, why? He wants to come. Are you getting my point here? There are people that will stay in those places. And God says, this place, because you stayed, is going to become a manufacturing hub in 25 years. Your very presence drops an anointing in the place. One day, you know, spiritual thing is the way it works. You won't even connect it directly. One of the people that maybe was with you in church, those hustling, the boy left, went to school, did it, and they now say, they need to build factory. Yes, that area. You won't know how it is. Next thing you know is that they start clearing land. Say, what is going on? A new factory is coming. Because one man stayed, a place that used to be bush becomes a manufacturing hub. That is the way life is. Your life has to be poured as an offering. That's just the way it is. Talking about service of God, that's my message for today. Let's go. He has given you a gift. He has placed you somewhere because he wants to come there. Until I come, identify your gift and be using it. Let me say this and I close, all right? Just very important. The fact that they promoted you and gave you title to pastor doesn't mean you are not going to go to hell. Yes, I need to keep saying this thing. Because Christians still think this. Do you know, my friend's church, Pastor Okemute, people still celebrate ordination as deacon. Kill goats. Come and rejoice with me. I've been ordained deacon. How can we be so foolish? Now your life is in danger. You are celebrating. They make you a deacon. You know what James said? He said, good. Now your judgment is going to be tighter. He was talking about teachers especially. Yeah. What is there to celebrate that you are not deacon? It's just because you think it's promotion. If they make you deacon, come from now on in the name of Jesus, you will serve the people of God. Amen. You go home. People, they will gather. Congratulations, I'm not a deacon. The man is a thief in the office, but he's a deacon. Things that will mean, it means God has forgotten all his stealing. Please, all this church promotion does not mean anything. It doesn't mean God approves of your life. They can give you a title in church. That is the very reason you will die early. I know people, the day they call them bishop, that is it. God marked the day of their death. Say, this guy, he's been crowned bishop of a denomination. Tells the angel, take this sword. On this particular day, kill him in the morning. I didn't say devil. So let's get it clear. Church promotion does not mean you are doing God's work. You can take a title. That is the day God decides that you won't live much longer. It is very, very possible. God is never impressed that you multiply what he did not give you. You are getting my point here? He said, do business with this. If he didn't give that one to you, don't multiply. Try to impress him with it. No, forget that. It doesn't work. They promoted you in church does not mean God is pleased. Very important. If you are not where you are supposed to be, occupying the way he said you are supposed to be occupying, you are not going to be pleasing to him. That's it. That's the summary of it. The title pastor does not mean you are spiritual. Bishop does not mean you are doing your work well. Deacon is now political. There are many deacons that are not born again. So don't be impressed at all with any with your forget other people. Your own title. Don't be impressed. Doesn't mean you are serving God. Human promotion says nothing about whether you are serving God or you are not. My friend saw one funny human being that they used to be in church together. Let us assume the guy's name was, let me look for another name. Okay, let's assume his name was Chris. It's not you, but it was one that said Chris. Catch him after he said Chris. He saw him and said, oh, Chris, long time. The guy said, wait. Now, Pastor Chris. So my friend was taken aback. The guy should pause. I'm now pastor. And of course, the texture of his hair had changed. His head must not lack oil. These are people that God will just kill, just for the fun of it. Just see Michael. Michael, have you killed anybody recently? Michael will say, no, sir. You want exercise? You want practice? You want foolish boy down there? I've been trying to correct him for 6 years now. He won't hear. Why? Because he thought title was a sign of progress. Anyway, you won't die in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You will stay where God planted you. Amen. You will fulfill his call for your life.
Amen.
His grace will show in your life.
Amen.
Please, give me one moment. Let me just say this. No matter how unspiritual your gift looks, you don't know how God is working. You may be an accountant in an accounting firm. It doesn't look spiritual. You are counting money and checking books. But God says, wait, I'm coming. I don't know whether you get my point there. You may be a mother at home nursing 4 children. It doesn't look very spiritual. But God says, be busy, I'm coming. When I come, I have something prepared you never thought about. Let's bow down here to pray.